Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got the phone lines open here on this Monday with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. 406-294-0970. Already got a couple callers on the phone line, so let's start with one of your phone calls. We've got Mike in Anaconda listening to KXTL. Mike, great to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, good morning. Aaron, our country's basically broke. We're in deep debt. And I guess I want our legislators to have a little more fight. Trump can't carry the whole ball. He's doing so much. And our guys, I hear nothing from them. They ought to be pounding on desks in Washington, for Pete's sakes. I ran organizations my whole life, and when you need to fix your bottom line, you got to cut costs. Trump's doing that.
Yeah,
and with doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the legislators are right there. They need to talk to their leaderships and put some pressure on them and put some pressure into the press. I haven't seen any Daines or Shahi or Zanke. They're never on TV, and I watch news all the time.
Well, that could be the TV station's fault because the TV stations, you know, they're too busy telling you how bad the tariffs are going to be and how bad the stock market. Oh, wait, the stock market's doing great. They already recovered all of the April losses, and now apparently it's roaring even higher today is what I'm hearing. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no trouble with that. But there's plenty of right-wing stations. I watch Newsmax. I watch America's Real Voice. Salem News, they'll take Republicans on.
Yeah, you got to get away from some of the legacy outlets to get the real news.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, luckily for you, we're going to have Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke is going to be with us on the show tomorrow. We're going to do a statewide town hall meeting, so that can be one of the topics we'll get to. But yeah, I think most of the Republicans are rowing all in one direction, but it sounds like there's a handful it's always a problem, right? There's always that handful that are rowing in another direction. But no, you're exactly right. We're $36 trillion in debt. We've got a $2 trillion deficit that the Biden tester regime ran up, and President Trump's working to pare that back as much as possible. I had Elon Musk in there with the DOGE efforts, but Congress has to make a lot of this stuff permanent. There's some that President Trump can do as president through the executive branch, but there's a lot that needs to be done through congressional action. So hopefully we get that one big, beautiful bill done by July 4th, by Independence Day, which, by the way, is on a Friday this year. Talk about a big Freedom Friday. If we could get the tax cuts made permanent and rein in some of the spending, man, it'll be another big reason to celebrate our independence and what should be freedom in America, right? Stand by. Back with your calls next.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Lots to talk about here on this Monday. Lots of good news to talk about on this Monday, by the way. The legacy media, they're probably not going to want to share a lot of the good news with you. When they thought it was bad news, boy, they were all over tariffs and China with the constant tariff war fear porn, as our friend John Jackson calls it. But now there's good news. So don't expect them to talk too much about the good news. But yeah, last week we told you about the good news for American beef and the UK as President Trump announced that trade deal. Now you've got the U.S.-China trade deal that was announced, an agreement in framework over the weekend that was just announced out of Switzerland. That is what is sending the stock market even higher this morning. And, of course, the stock market had already recovered from any of the disruptions that it saw earlier on this spring. You've got the final American hostages getting released. You've got a ceasefire that Secretary of State Marco Rubio helped to broker between two nuclear-powered nations, India and Pakistan. This is just the start of the next 100 days. Into the phone lines we go. Carla Johnson out of Absorkey. Great to hear from you, Carla. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron. Good morning. Thank you. And I just wanted to thank you for all the great things you do for the state of Montana. And just wanted to thank you for announcing our 250th Celebrate America event that's coming on June 6th, and we really appreciate that. The gentleman earlier today from Anaconda wanted to talk about Doge, and do you know anything if there's a Doge in Montana that people can get involved with?
Oh, man, I wish. Somebody needs to just start a Doge of Montana. You know, okay, quick. Actually, before I get to that sidebar, can I just say something else about your event that you have coming up?
Sure.
Just in case anybody missed it. So Gordon Chang, you know, we talk about this U.S.-China trade deal. And last week when I shared this update, so Friday, June 6th, Freedom Friday, June 6th, in Columbus, Montana, they're bringing Gordon Chang to Columbus, and it's part of their you know, getting ready for America's 250th celebration. Gordon Chang is going to be incredible. And then on Saturday the 7th, I first heard about this when I was in Glendive for the Lincoln Reagan dinner a while back. He's going to be at the Miles City Livestock. Gordon Chang's doing an event there with the great folks from the Patriots Roundtable in Miles City. So two great opportunities, depending on your neck of the woods, to see Gordon Chang. And then he's going to join us on the radio as well. So thanks to you guys for lining that one up for us. But
you're welcome.
But last week in this story, Gordon Chang was talking about how China is feeling the heat. They've got factories that have been shut down. And the communist Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, is in a really tenuous position because he's got all the power. So when things aren't going well in China, he bears all the blame. And so, you know, Trump knows this, and this is how Trump's able to negotiate a good deal for America finally.
Right. He's good. The heart of the deal, as they say.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, and I appreciate it.
Hey, no, thank you. Yeah. And then on your Doge idea, you know, yeah, we've talked about this idea before, which is, hey, why not get a Doge for Montana? So Doge, now some would say that when the governor launched the Red Tape Relief Initiative very early on in his first term, that that was a kind of a precursor for Doge. And I think that's fair to say that when the governor launched his Red Tape Relief Initiative here in Montana, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis had a similar move in Florida. Yeah, that was a Doge for Montana, getting rid of that red tape. But I think it can also be broader. I think we can expand on that good work by the governor by really doing what Doge did at the federal level and identifying wasteful spending, for example. And I think another thing, and I think Greg Franks in Billings was the one who called in and mentioned this one time, is that we need a Doge just to focus on cities and counties. Even if you put the state aside for a moment, set up a Doge, set up an audit of all these cities and all these counties. You know, the ones who actually raise your property taxes? And some might say, well, why would the state have authority to investigate cities and counties? Well, remember what we talked about last week. In this property tax relief plan, the state of Montana is actually ordering the city of Billings to break their cap that's in their city charter. Well, how can the state order the city to violate their own charter, which is like their constitution? Well, the state has authority over these cities. These cities only get their authority from the state. So if that's true, and if that's the legal justification coming out of the city of Billings for why they're claiming they're going to be able to raise their property taxes, well, the state has the authority to Doge the city of Billings then too. Let's see. Let's go to Jerry and Terry. Jerry, what's your thoughts?
Yes. I
suggest to you again the word vigilance. Vigilance Montana. And forget about these damn electrical, political parties. Each member of our state has an opportunity, an obligation to take responsible action on behalf of their fellow citizens and the state.
And that's in response. And that's in response to this idea of a Doge for Montana. You're saying every one of us needs to be the Doge, identifying and looking through the books here.
Absolutely, and we all know of cases within our counties that require a good look and an airing.
Well, and now with social media and websites and platforms, podcasts, etc., citizen journalists have the ability to not only do the investigating, but to get the word out on their own as well. All right, great phone call. Thanks for calling in. Quick break. Back with more calls after this.
Securing America.
This is National Police Week, honoring those who keep us safe and secure all year long. Events began Sunday with a National Police K-9 Memorial Service and will continue throughout the week. The annual Candlelight Vigil, held in honor of those who lost their lives in the line of duty, will be held Tuesday. And the annual Peace Officers Memorial Service will take place Thursday. Those we lost will have their names engraved on the memorial wall in Washington, D.C. Craig Floyd is the CEO Emeritus of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund.
More than 4 million Americans contributed money to make sure that this monument was built. And now we have a National Law Enforcement Museum right across the street to tell the stories behind the names on these walls.
147 law enforcement officers were killed in the line of duty during the 2024 calendar year. National Police Week runs through Saturday. Kevin Uretzky, Fox News.
Did you know that
it's morning in Montana? This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, so earlier this morning, I got a chance to catch up with Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown. And yeah, if you guys have been listening to the show here over the past couple of weeks, you know, I've been, you know, calling out the Gallatin County Commissioners for standing in the way of ICE, standing in the way of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and their efforts to get these illegal aliens and this criminal element out of our communities. And yeah, Gallatin County, we're told that there's 1,000 illegal aliens in the state, according to federal law enforcement. That was the briefing Governor Greg Gianforte got. And the bulk of those are in Gallatin County. So why are the Gallatin County commissioners, all three Democrats, and the Gallatin County attorney standing in the way of ICE? Why did they never reach out to ICE once in the last, 4 years? That was what stood out to me. Well, I got a chance to catch up with the Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown to get his response, because we always like to give, you know, opportunity for anybody to be able to respond and be heard. But then I also asked him about pay for Gallatin County commissioners, because, you know, they've been criticized for voting for the fourth year in a row to raise their own pay as county commissioners, while at the same time people have been forced to pay more in property taxes. So I'll share a little bit of that back and forth with you here. If we get some time, full audio on the Montana Talks podcast, of course. But let's go back to the phone calls first here. We got a couple callers on the line. 294-0970 is the number for you. Kevin in Billings, what's on your mind? And thanks for the phone call.
Well, Aaron, I don't know if you heard. I called in a few weeks ago to talk about the Maud family. I don't know if you heard the charges have been dropped.
I was just going to say, I was trying to remember who first told me this was this ranch family in South Dakota that the feds were going after them over a fence line issue. It's like, wow, the Biden regime wouldn't defend our own southern border. They wouldn't build a wall, but boy, they wanted to, you know, punish that ranch family for their family fence that's been in the family for how many years?
1907. And by the way, that fence line, the ranchers' boards formed in the 30s. You know, this was resolved back during the adjudication era of the 30s with these ranchers' boards. So clearly there is an agenda, but I also want to talk about something else. Have you heard of private members' associations?
Well, first, before we get to that one, yeah, so the update is here is this Maud family, they were being threatened with, it was with the Forest Service over a property boundary issue. They were facing up to 10 years in prison and a fine of up to $250,000 if convicted. And now basically the Trump administration put a stop to all that BS. I think Ag Secretary Rollins was talking about that here recently. But yeah, so your second question was what? I don't know if I have an answer for you, but I'm sure.
Well, real quick though, I do want to say I did a podcast with Shad Sullivan on the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone. In fact, I should probably update it since, you know, I was on vacation when the charges were dropped. But yeah. The second thing is the Private Members Association, and I did an episode on this on the Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone. You know, how many times have we said and have we heard us conservatives need to start doing business with more like-minded people? Well, I found out there are private members associations out there. Costco is considered what's called a PMA. They're statutory, but then there's non-statutory where you just pay a monthly membership, yearly membership, whatever, and then get your food or whatever it is that you want. There's a doctor in Washington State that's a private members association, and I don't know the pricing schedule, but one of the people on my podcast, Rocky Mountain Freedom Zone, mentions that he pays $600 a year, but that doctor will do in-house visits, he'll do whatever, and he doesn't take insurance. So for those of us that want to do business with like-minded folks, you might want to look into PMAs, private members associations. They're out there.
Well, that's basically what the legislature created, was that three sessions ago, these direct primary care. Remember, it was against state law to do what you just talked about. To just, hey, I want to pay a monthly fee, and then I want to go see a doctor, a nurse, or a PA, or an NP, and just get my routine medical stuff taken care of without facing exorbitant fees or paying some crazy insurance bill. Thanks, Obamacare, right? And so the Republican legislature and the Republican governor passed a bill authorizing direct primary care, and it sounds like it's been working pretty well for folks. Yeah, so that's a great example of these member associations. Another one I would throw at you, Kevin, look up, it's Credova, C-R-E-D-O-V-A, and Public Square. Public Square, you might recall when I did my show from the SHOT Show back in January of 2024, Donald Trump Jr. showed up, and because he's partnering with Credova, which is based in Bozeman, Montana, and Public Square, and they basically created exactly what you're talking about. It's the Public Square if you want to go, you know, support businesses and companies that share your viewpoint, that share your outlook. So that your money isn't being used against you. And so, yeah, Public Square is another great example of that very concept. So, interesting stuff. Kevin, always great to hear from you. Let's go to Susan in Missoula next up on the phone lines. Susan, what's going on?
Well, I am seriously disappointed with the legislative body that passed what initially looked like it was going to be property tax relief, but as I understand it, there is a minimal reduction of property tax cost to the residential owner, but if you are a business owner, there is a substantial increase, as well as with utilities having a substantial increase. And what that means is that we as property tax people, or people who pay taxes, and they're only like 46% taxes, are going to see increases in services and products. So whatever we gained from the property tax reduction for a house is going to be offset. And I would like your comments on that.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly seems to be the case, is that, okay, if it's going to be Now, it kind of depends on who you believe and where we're getting these numbers from. Now, Representative Lou Jones, he's the more moderate Republican out of Conrad, who's been kind of the architect on some of this stuff. He's been posting on X. He's claiming that's not going to take place. He uses Northwestern Energy as an example to say that actually, if you compare tax year 2025, which is fiscal year 2026, to tax year 2026, that actually they will see about a $3 million decrease. I think what's happening here, though, is you got to go back and look at 2024. So in the 2023 session, those utilities actually saw tax relief. They saw tax reduction. And then they got hit with this increase and now they're going to see an increase, but that increase is still going to be lower than what they would have paid, say, back in 2022. Does that make sense? So they're taking a hit, but it's not like what their hit was, say, back in 2022. But either way, your broader point is, anytime you increase something on business, especially utilities, they don't even – I saw Larry Brewster, a representative out of Billings, and he used to work for Northwestern Energy, so he knows how this stuff works. He says if Northwestern Energy ends up paying more in property taxes, they don't even have to go to the PSC. That's a line item on your bill. Boom. You pay the property taxes. So
yeah.
So your larger point is right there.
Yeah, what's going to happen is that whatever relief – we receive from this wonderful legislature, saying that sarcastically, we are going to end up with a higher tax bill on the other end, because not only are the utilities seeing an increase, but also corporations. And I don't know what they're talking about with corporations. Are they talking about Walmart? Are they talking about the ma and pa, you know, person, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think there should have been an across-the-board reduction for everybody.
Yeah, nobody should pay more. Yeah. Nobody should pay more. They have a budget surplus. Nobody should. We don't have a revenue. But this was like when that lady from Indiana called in. She was all fired up. She's like, you guys are in Montana, you need to do this and you need to do that. You need to start getting sales taxes. And I'm like, we don't have a tax revenue problem. Why would we talk about starting another tax? We don't have a tax revenue problem. We have a government spending problem, which is why everybody it wants the governor to break out the veto pen here. But here's the other thing, too, which is, okay, will the larger companies like the Phillips 66 refineries, like the Northwestern Energies, like the pipelines, will they end up paying more or less in property taxes? Now, Lou Jones says they're going to pay less. Freedom Caucus guys say they're going to pay a lot more. But my thing is this, is here's the deal. The biggest problem we have right now when it comes to property taxes is the fact that and Jerry Schillinger, representative out of Circle, talked about this last week. We have destroyed our industrial base. Thanks for the call, Susan. Yeah, I guess she said her piece. That was her hanging up, not me. So thanks for calling in. We have destroyed our industrial base. I say we, not we, they. This is where I grew up playing whist. Anybody else play whist? Any other Scandinavians out there that played the card game whist when you were kids? It's not us versus them. It's we and they. Not they, them. It's we and they. That's how you keep score in whist. My team is we. Their team is they. They put liberal judges on the bench. They shut down the timber industry. They went after the mining industry. They are in bed with the radical environmental groups that have destroyed the industrial base in Montana. We are working to rebuild it. How are we going to rebuild our industrial base if we raise taxes on our industrial base? And that pipeline, I could route that thing through North Dakota instead of northeastern Montana. That's why it'll be interesting. These are just estimates that they're throwing out.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The United States has suspended imports of live cattle, horses, and bison through ports of entry along the southern border, effective immediately. Why are they doing this? Well, the New World screwworm, a deadly parasitic fly, is rapidly spreading north in Mexico, now found as far as Veracruz, just 700 miles from the U.S. border. On Sunday, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins says the move is essential to protect American livestock and food security and is not about politics. Rollins said it's about animal health, food security, and national security. Some facts around the New World screwworm, as it causes severe, often fatal wounds in animals. The U.S.-Mexico have worked together since the 1960s to stop its spread, but recent detection in the southern part of Mexico a few months ago has caused an increase in cases to move further north, threatening the U.S. livestock industry. The ban will be reviewed monthly as containment efforts continue. Groups like the National Cattlemen's Beef Association have been pushing USDA and Central American officials for stronger action to stop the spread of New World screwworm. They're applauding the move made Sunday. NCBA CEO Colin Woodall says U.S. ranchers have spent years and millions of dollars since the 1960s to eradicate this devastating pest, and they don't want to fight that battle again. I'm Lane Northland.
Big topics, big ideas. Big Sky, Montana Talks.
Yeah, Frank in Malta, let's get a whist tournament up and running. Frank just messaged me. He said, we got a lot of people here in Malta that play whist. That doesn't surprise me. You know, it's a good Scandinavian country in northeast Montana. I remember back in the day, man, you'd have busloads, charter buses full of people from Minnesota come over to play whist tournaments. But, well, yeah, when I was a little kid, man, you know, my grandma had seven kids, and then my great uncle and great aunt, they had seven kids. So, you know, with 14 kids at all, you know, grew up in one town in northeast Montana, we had a lot of whist tables. And my great grandma Nellie was playing whist. Everybody was in there playing whist. In fact, yesterday it was really cool. On Mother's Day, my mom dropped off a couple of her photo albums, including my grandma's photo album. And so it was fun flipping through there. And there were some photos from some whist tournaments and much more. But I saw it, one of the photos I really liked. It was a cool photo of my great grandpa on his Massey Ferguson tractor. And then I read some family history of, you know, the Norwegians and the Swedes that would have to gather the wheat by hand back in the late 1800s in Minnesota and more. So it was fun looking through some of that stuff and reading through some of that family history there as well. All right, you guys know how we roll here on this show. I say a lot of things. You get to say a lot of things. And then, but we want other people to be able to respond as well. You know, like for example, last week, you know, I was calling out the Gallatin County Commissioners. I was criticizing the Gallatin County Commissioners for not working with ICE. I mean, think about all of the problems with illegal aliens in Bozeman, Montana. You guys have heard about all of it, right? I mean, the people in Billings are like, wow, Bozeman's got a big crime problem on their hands. That's when you know it's bad. When Billings is like, hey, Bozeman, you guys need some help with that crime problem over there? But anyway, over 1,000 illegal aliens are reportedly in Montana. Most of them are in Gallatin County. And, you know, look, you've had Bozeman and Gallatin County targeted by the Mexican drug cartels. You've had ICE arresting Trende Aragua gangbangers in the Gallatin Valley. We've had a host of illegal aliens arrested for committing additional crimes like wrong-way drunk driving on the interstate, sexual assaults, violent attacks, and more. The Gallatin County Sheriff is working to address this crime, but why are the Gallatin County Commissioners not working to address this crime? So I got reaction from Commissioner Zach Brown earlier this morning. I also threw this question his way as well.
No, you know, one of the things, I also wanted to give you the chance to respond to this. Back in April, Kendall Cotton, who is the CEO of the Frontier Institute, shared this news on X. For the fourth year in a row, Gallatin County proposes a pay raise for elected officials. Meanwhile, people are getting taxed out of their homes. Any reaction to that criticism from Kendall Cotton and others who have also criticized the Gallatin County Commissioners for voting to raise your own pay while we've had crime problems with illegal aliens and more.
You bet. So, number one is Kendall Cotton is fake news. Most of his reports out of the Frontier Institute are based on faulty assumptions and bad data, and it's a political shop, not a policy shop that he runs there. But number two, when we invest in elected official salaries, that is almost always driven by the investing in the sheriff's salaries and therefore his deputies. So it is a public safety conversation. Montana law ties elected official decisions and that specifically the salary of the sheriff to the salary of deputies. It's a formula created in state law. So we have to invest in elected official salaries in order to give a raise to our sheriff's deputies, the folks who are on the street keeping our communities safe.
So is Kendall Cotton, you're saying that he's fake news, but was when he said that you voted to raise your own pay for the fourth year in a row, was any of that factually incorrect?
No, certainly not. Kendall Cotton puts out a lot of things that are talking about local government spending that are untrue and incorrect. But that certainly is true. We have to invest, again, in order to raise the salaries of our employees who provide public safety services. We have to raise elected official salaries, and that includes our own salaries. So
all right.
It's an awkward part of the job, but it's part of the job.
All right. So, and then there's more. I'll share a little bit of his reaction, his response, you know, to this criticism that the Gallatin County Commissioners are standing in the way of ICE in Bozeman. But first, let's get back to the phone calls here, 406-294-0970. John in Kalispell. John, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, Aaron, I just wanted to give you a little brief history of the state budget. The only time in the history of Montana that state budget was never passed by the state legislature was in 2007 when I was chair, and the Rhino Republicans in the Senate kept increasing the budget, and the way that session worked was interesting. However, it appears to be the same way this session with the Republicans, the minority Republicans with the Democrats continually put in, and I watched some of those budget hearings, they just put increase after increase after increase, and they've shirked their responsibility, and I don't care what party you're from. If it is state law, it's like you said with Zach Brown, his excuse is, well, state law says that I get a raise if I raise my employees' salaries. Well, why don't the Democrats, the Republicans, moderates, actually do their job and have a full balanced budget? And along with that budget, 50% plus of our budget comes from the federal government.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, so nonstop local TV stations, looks like they had a good report talking about the balanced budget. And last week we had the governor on, and he said he's got a lot of ink in that veto pen, so hopefully he'll be using it on most of this spending here. But yeah, I mean, they're reporting here that the budget, this is a quote from their article, the budget is expected to enter the red in 2028 and remain there in 2029 if all legislative bills appropriating funds are signed into law. John, was it you that messaged me or was it somebody else? They said it's the legislature's constitutional responsibility to balance the budget, not the governor's. So in a way, somebody could argue that the legislature, you know, left town without getting their, without meeting their constitutional obligation.
Well, it was not me that texted you, but they have actually violated the Constitution by not submitting to the governor's office for signature a balanced budget.
Does it have
to? That is their constitutional responsibility.
Does it have to balance in this biennium? Because technically, wouldn't if it starts going into the red in 2028? Is that outside the biennium? Is it just a balanced budget for this biennium, or does it stretch into the next biennium as well?
No, it's a balanced budget for this biennium. It's only a two-year budget, so that budget bill only affects 2 years, even though there's future obligations.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about is the future obligations. So that means in the future, if you don't cut this future spending budget down and obligations in the future, That means you're raising taxes in the next 2 years in order to balance that budget. And not only that, the balanced budget is supposed to have, I believe, 10% in reserves for any issues that may occur during that 2 year cycle.
Yeah, interesting. Well, thanks for calling in, John. Great to hear from you. Next up, let's see, who do we got next on the phone lines here? 406-294-0970. Rick in Billings is next up. Rick, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron. I've been in construction work for about 43 years. And if they really wanted to find these guys, all they have to do is go to construction sites. And what they're doing is they're starting to wear those long sleeve shirts with the, like a turtleneck, you know, that covers their neck. And wearing gloves so they're not showing their tattoos anymore. That's what's happening. And I know firsthand that's what's going on.
Interesting.
So anyway, just want to make it quick.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Because I know in Billings, I mean, we've had David Noble on the show who fills in for me. And he's made the point that there's some roofing companies, he said roofing companies, that hire illegal aliens. And then they come in and then they underbid the roofing companies that want to do it the right way, that want to do it the legal way, and then they lose out on a bid because they can't, you know. So similar concept with the Big Sky area as well.
Well, when I lived in California, I'm not from there, but I lived there. We worked on this apartment complex. It was about 14 to 2,000 apartments. And at the beginning of the project, about 90% white. At the end of the project, it was about 90% Mexican. And that's exactly what they do. They underbid. And what that does is it lowers the wage of people who are citizens of this country who have children to feed, and they end up losing their job to people that are not even citizens of this country.
Yeah, and then, I mean, well, and I'm going to play part of this audio here. Thanks for the call, Rick. Great to hear from you. Coming up right after the break, I'm going to play a little bit of the back and forth that I had earlier this morning with Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown. But the quote that stood out to a lot of people who heard it in Bozeman was, he says that Gallatin County is, what was the word, safer than ever before in the last 4 or 5 years. Anyway, stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Before we talk about what the Gallatin County Commissioners are not doing, which is this ICE proposal at the Gallatin County Detention Center, do you see a problem with the illegal aliens in Gallatin County, and what are the Gallatin County Commissioners working to do about this problem?
Yeah, so the Gallatin County government is primarily involved with fundamental public safety and infrastructure issues. So that includes investing in law enforcement, partnering with the sheriff to run our detention center, plowing and grading roads, etc. So we're on the ground in the community just making sure the basics in our community are working and functional. When that intersects with the immigration system, we certainly cooperate with federal officials. Immigration is a civil federal legal process and consideration, and ICE very clearly has legal jurisdiction over federal immigration laws. When someone is detained in Gallatin County Detention Center for committing a crime, which happens often, and one of our county employees runs a background check and enters their information into the criminal justice system, and there's a flag on their immigration status, we have an agreement, and I believe we're one of only two counties in Montana that has this type of an agreement, where our detention officers are trained to reach out to ICE and offer to put an immigration hold on them so that if they post bond or bail, they can be held for an additional 72 hours.
All right. So anyway, so yeah, that was Gallatin County Commissioner Zach Brown. And so I followed up by saying, okay, well, that's what the sheriff is doing. That's what the jail is doing. But what are the Gallatin County commissioners doing to help? I mean, you, with this whole host of crimes coming from these illegal aliens, what are you doing? And I read in the Bozeman Daily Chronicle how you haven't even reached out to ICE in how many years that this has been identified as a major problem in Bozeman and Gallatin County. You had Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA. She was the head of the DEA at the time. She talked about how the drug cartels are moving in, and then we have Trende Aragua arrest take place. What are you guys doing about it? And then eventually I said this, because he eventually says, look, he's not afraid. He's not afraid of the Democrat Party base. He doesn't have future political aspirations, so he's not making this decision out of fear. But he described why they, the Democrat Gallatin County commissioners, decided not to sign off on this deal with the sheriff and ICE. And then that's when I jumped in with this.
So when I think about that, though, I think about the way that local small businesses in Bozeman and Gallatin County were treated during COVID-19. And, you know, basically you had the government cracking down on local businesses. Now the big box stores got a pass. Local business owners got treated horribly by the city and by the county. But then transients and illegal aliens get to flood the city. And now all of a sudden you're worried about their rights when the rights of local business owners got kicked to the curb in COVID-19 era.
Listen, since I've been in the commission, we have Gallatin County Commission has invested record amounts of resources into public safety. We've built a new justice facility. We've made record investments in salaries for our sheriff's deputies. We've expanded the scope of the county attorney's office in terms of the number of bodies they have in their office to prosecute crimes. So Gallatin County is as safe as it has ever been or safer over the last 5 years since I've been in office. And we will continue to protect public safety in Gallatin County and invest dollars efficiently for the intended purpose of those tax dollars. So,
all right. So, yeah, there you go. Full audio on the Montana Talks podcast. But, yeah, that was the line that stood out to a lot of Bozeman folks, is he says that Gallatin County is as safe as it has ever been or safer over the last 5 years since he's been in office. And certainly some folks in Bozeman are like, whoa, I'd love to see the numbers on that one. Back into the phone lines we go here. Let's see. We've got Matt in Columbia Falls listening to KJJR. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, Aaron, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
So, stepping back on topic here, I called back when we were talking about the legislature, and
yeah.
I'm not balancing the budget. So, when it comes down to it, you know, they voted in their session 5 days early, threw something at the governor that they knew he wasn't going to sign in its entirety. You know, back in the military, we used to throw that call, throwing that, you know, you hit the end of your shift or you want to go home early. So you throw poo at the wall to see if it'll stick for the next shift. That's exactly what our paid legislators did. They wanted to go home early. They threw what they knew wouldn't make it at the wall. And, you know, me, being a jet engine mechanic in the Air Force, if I did that and that didn't stick to the wall like it should have, I got called on the carpet for that. I had to go in early the next day. I got called in, and I had to explain why I did that, and I had to be accountable for that action.
Yeah, what's the line? I will not leave my post until properly relieved. You know, you may.
Exactly.
That's what kind of comes to mind. Although, on the other hand, man, the longer they stayed there, the more of our money they were going to keep spending. And so, you know, Daniel Zolnikoff, state senator, gave an impassioned plea for why they needed to stay and continue their job and get the job done. And I totally see where he's coming from. But on the other hand, I could see why other people were like, hey, if we don't get out of Dodge now, the bleeding will continue. With We the People's money. So I understand why they wanted to get out of there, too.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Well, Matt, thanks for your service. I'm hearing the music. We got to run already. This hour flew by. Matt, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service. I've got my air show hat on from the Yellowstone International Air Show. So thanks to jet mechanics like you that they get to fly those cool things. Congressman Zinke, town hall tomorrow. Montana.